and welcome back to the How To Fitness Podcast Q&A edition. Kate, how are you doing?
We're doing great. Doing great. Excited for this. I think I really love these because we get to move fast and selfishly, they're a lot less work.
That is true. Yeah, it's true. I quite like the kind of quick fire, just see what we think about a topic off the cuff. It just feels a bit fresher. Like, I love the deep dives, don't get me wrong. We've learned some really cool things with those. But yeah, these just feel like just get to flex our nutrition knowledge, which is really nice.
Yeah. Very fun.
Cool.
Let's do it.
I'll throw the first question at you then, Kate. So is carb cycling necessary?
Well, I think some of this is missing, like, for what? Is carb cycling necessary for what? I'm not sure. I'm going to go with no, it is not. So I think, there's merit for someone who is very active, for someone who is maybe competitive in their athleticism with whatever sport, weightlifting, endurance, whatever that may look like, to manipulate carbs a little bit more to ensure that they're fueling well. But I would say for the average person, like us included, carb cycling is not necessary. And I really, really think it is a barrier to feeling more confident in our nutrition. It like makes things more complicated. It makes it harder to create routine and habits in our eating. And it just is kind of confusing, right? So no, carb cycling, not necessary.
Yeah, I feel like this one stems from that whole process where a lot of coaches like to make the process complicated to make it look more impressive when they're selling it to a client, rather than just finding the easy path that's going to bring the best longevity. Like I kind of get it if you are eating a load of food and you maybe want some days where you're not having to eat as much food because it can get a little bit tiring if your exercise output's really high. But yeah, I'm completely with you there, Kate.
Yeah, and I'd say those folks are like few and far between.
Yeah.
Compared to us normal people. All right. Is it okay to still do a workout if I'm tired? I ask the very tired dad.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because it's all a fine balancing act of, will doing this workout kind of push me back or make me feel a little bit better? So it also depends on the workout. I usually are on the side of caution. Like, if I don't feel great and my body feels pretty gross, I will give it a rest and then feel a little bit better, go again the next day. That is usually the healthiest approach, in my opinion. Granted, if you're a new parent, have a really busy job, there's a lot of the time you're going to be tired. If you didn't ever work out when you were tired, then you'll probably never get any workouts done. I maybe would have done like 3 workouts in the last 9 months of my son being here with us. So it is a balancing act. And I think it comes with experience. Like, the longer you're exercising, the better you'll know your body and whether you'll be able to push through that tiredness. And this is something I speak about a lot on social media, actually. It's like giving yourself permission to quit is something I always preach, because there's days where I'm like, oh, it's kind of 50-50 if I feel like I'm going to be able to get through this workout. Just start it, see how your body feels. If you don't feel great, quit, go again the next day. And that's usually quite a good tool to use.
Yes, I love that. And I think there's even like, this comes with the practice, being able to listen into our body. And do I like physically feel tired, like I need a rest, or mentally am I just kind of like blah? Because I think sometimes, you know, that physical need for rest, we need to listen to that, or else we're setting ourselves up for injury or inability to recover. But mentally, if you're just like, ugh, I don't really want to work out, sometimes we need to push through that a little bit. Just depends.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Like, most of the time you'll get in the groove and then you'll feel amazing afterwards. Sometimes you won't and you'll stop. But yeah, it's a tough one to know the balance. Kind of a nice broad answer to that question, but give it a try. See how your body feels. Throw in the towel if you need to. There's no shame in that whatsoever. Right, next question. So if I burn off 250 calories exercising, can I eat back 250 calories? Very precise number that.
It is very. The short answer here is going to be that anything we're using to track calorie expenditure is probably not very accurate. So like, if your watch or your phone told you burn 250 calories, there is a huge margin of error in there. And I think I think literature says like 10 to 90% margin of error, which just is like the most absurd range I've ever heard. What if it's 40 to 90%? I'm going to look it up and I'll put that in the show notes because I don't want to say it wrong. But it's something that's just like this huge range of error in a smartwatch, talking Whoop, Apple Watch, Fitbit, whatever you may, Garmin, whatever you may use. But also we have to talk about, what's our goal here? If we burn 250 calories exercising, can I eat back 250 calories? for what? Like, if we are more active, we do want to make sure we're eating enough food. But I think it kind of to go back to the carb cycling topic, like, let's not overcomplicate our nutrition. Let's eat adequately at all times. And if you work out a little bit more, it's okay. You're really well fueled. And if you have a rest day, you're still well fueled. And let's not add and subtract food. I think doing so kind of gets us into this like mentality of, oh, I need to work out to earn my food. And we want to not be there at all. So just eat enough all the time would be like the answer. And let's not play around with adding calories back in or making sure we burn X amount of calories, because there's also a huge margin of error in how we calculate those calories.
Yeah, it's a great answer. Completely agree. I love a smartwatch. Don't get me wrong. Like, I have one on my wrist for people listening. I'm waving my arm in the air. It has so many good things about it, like tracking step count. If you want to get a bit more active, track your running times, swimming times, and that kind of stuff. There's many things that it's not very good at, and tracking calorie burn is one of the things that I would just never, ever trust a smartwatch to do. There are ways that you can track calorie burn doing exercise. You'll have to exercise on a treadmill, wearing a mask in a weird lab situation. So no one's going to be doing that. So yeah, don't trust them. That's all we can say.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, now we're off topic a little bit, but I just want to throw this out here. Like, I do look at sometimes like my calorie expenditure on my watch. I'm team Fitbit over here. Which I know is so weird. I know. I mean, just think of it as like a baseline. Like, a baseline on a typical day, you're expending X amount of calories. And if you see that calorie expenditure way higher or way lower, let's not worry about like the nuance of the numbers. You just know, oh, I was a lot more active or a lot less active. And typically, because we have brains and knowledge, we know that anyway. You're like, yes, I went on a run, or no, I have sat in front of my computer all day. So I don't know. Don't put too much stock in it. All right, next question. Do you need to modify workout styles / choices as you age?
Yeah, this is a cool question. And I really want to throw this one in here because, speaking from experience, I'm now going back through another training cycle of doing another Ironman 70.3 event. And it's been really, I'm trying to look at it as like an interesting kind of learning curve of kind of how my body is reacting to exercise now and what I need to do in order to allow it to recover effectively. So we don't necessarily have to adapt the workout style or choices. It's a lot of the time it's how you recover and treat those workouts or the way that you exercise. So for example, when I first trained for the first Ironman event I did, I could just lift weights and train for the triathlon on the same day. I would feel great. The next day I'd wake up feeling fresh. I now don't. I'm 33. I feel young still. I'm not going to kind of insult anyone who's older than me and say that I'm old. I'm not. But my recovery rate is now so much slower than it was even 5-6 years ago. And a lot of people beat themselves up for that. And I don't think you should. I think you just have to embrace it and treat your body in the way that it needs to be treated at the time. So now I am lowering the intensity of a lot of my long run cycles and swims. I'm giving myself an extra rest day. I'm eating a little bit more food to help me recover. I'm really nailing my protein intake to make sure that my muscle recovery is really fast. So you don't necessarily need to adapt the workout style of choice. You might do if you've been pushing things too hard, but usually it's just how you treat your body in the recovery process. And that's the thing that's going to make the biggest difference. And yeah, just don't beat yourself up. It's fun. Like, see what your body feels like it wants to do. See what makes your body thrive outside of that, and just embrace it a little bit.
Love that. And warm up. That's my biggest difference in the last decade of life is just being able to like hop into a workout versus like, I have to warm up or else, you know.
It's really funny you say that. So I went for a sports massage today and she was just like, yeah, everything's tight. But she's like, have you been doing immobility work? No, not as much as I should be. So yeah, there's something that I now am going to work on because I'm at the start of this training cycle. Otherwise, my body hurts, and that's not a good feeling.
I know it well.
Yeah, there we go. Right, final question then. So how to start weight training? I do, and then I stop every single time.
Ooh, okay, this is fun. Michael, I'm so curious to see if you're going to agree with what I want to say here. So I just am such a strong believer that we have to have enjoyment in the movement we do. Like, it's not going to be sustainable. Like you said, I do, and then I stop every time. It's not going to be sustainable if we like really loathe what we're going to do. And when I have a client in this predicament of like, okay, I feel like I know that I need to do some resistance training, some weight training, but I just don't know how, or I hate it. we find what is enjoyable. And sometimes I like often we start with like, hey, let's go on YouTube together and like find some type of like, I'm going to follow this like body weight, dance weight workout, whatever, and just build up a little bit of momentum. And like, you know, I set aside this time to work out. I am doing some type of resistance training and find some love for it. And that momentum allows us then to find like a rhythm in weight training that may be more with like, you know, actual weights and progressive overload and some strategies that are very good for us as far as health and muscle building and longevity go. But I feel like we have to just start with like, what can I actually do? What is fun and what is enjoyable and what helps me just like get it done and build the momentum to then like move forward and what may be more optimal.
I love that. I had this exact conversation with a client yesterday on the point you just brought up, and she doesn't like strength training at all, right? So I'm trying to find like some foundation of strength training just because the health benefits are huge, right? We've tried the kind of more conventional style strength training. She said she hated it. So we're trying something else. So now we're going for more of like a circuit training, cardio-y thing with strength elements to it, to see whether we can kind of introduce a bit more strength movement, see if we can build a bit of strength doing that in a way that she kind of typically enjoys. And then a lot of the time when people start seeing their numbers climb up in terms of strength and they start feeling a bit stronger and their movement patterns are better, they tend to be a bit more open to trying other forms of strength training. And yeah, typically we think of strength training as this like bodybuilder bro approach of like back day, chest day, arm day. And it just doesn't have to be like that. Like strength training comes in so many different forms, and there will be a way out there that you maybe you won't love it, but you might find kind of a bit more enjoyable or more tolerable to do long-term just because the health benefits are so huge. So yeah, love your answer, Kate.
Right. I think we have to put aside the idea of what's optimal sometimes. Like there's not one answer, but there's this more optimal style of strength training. Like I said, with progressive overload, with compound movements, with accessory, like, you know, there's this optimal answer for like, yes, this would be really great, but it's not optimal if you're not going to do it. So like, let's find something that's optimal for you right now and not worry about like the one gold standard. And maybe that's like a cardio dance circuit YouTube video. And that works and that's just fine.
I feel like you need to share some of these YouTube dance strength.
I'm thinking of, okay, go to YouTube and look up the Fitness Marshal. That's all you need to know. My sister introduced me to him, the Fitness Marshal, and it is so fun.
I have not heard of the Fitness Marshal. I'm going to be doing that as soon as we hang up this call. John, here we go. The Fitness. Does he wear crazy clothing? I really hope so.
He usually has like a mesh tank on.
He looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think his name is actually Marshall. So it's also very, very funny.
My parents did not think about me becoming a fitness professional, did they?
No. The Fitness Michael, no, doesn't work.
Rubbish. Yeah, he was always going to win. He was always going to win. That Marshall. That's really cool, though. I love that. Yeah, find what's optimal for you. It's such a huge, like, important message to champion. There's not enough people doing it. So, yeah, like that. And that's the end of our Q&A as well.
All right.
Everyone found that helpful. Go dance with Marshall. That's all you need.
Go dance with Marshall. Go dance with Marshall. Go to YouTube. Get some dance cardio in. I promise it's fun.
Love it. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll see you all again next week.
Talk soon.